Within your lifetime, I don't know if you've ever tried to count, how many times have you seen or heard or even experienced something that just doesn't make sense? It seems like that isn't right. There was this guy that was playing basketball. His name was Spud Webb. Some of you might recall him. He's a little fella, but he could dunk the basketball. I'm 5'11", and I can't do that. He's a lot shorter than I am. It doesn't make sense. When I was in Japan, we had this kind of exposition and display of martial arts. And so into the gymnasium with all of us high school kids, but comes this frail-looking old man, and he walks like this, and he kind of looks like if you sneezed, he would fall over. So one gentleman that was with him tied his arms, so they were strapped to his body. Then he handed him a sword. And the sword was almost as tall as he is. And the question that the guy on the microphone said, do you think he could pull the sword, draw the sword, in one motion? Or how many times would it take? And so just to make the point, he goes like this. I mean, that's as far as he can get the sword out of the sheath. And so the class is thinking, he ain't gonna make it, you know. And then all of a sudden, in one motion, he just goes, I can't even know how he does it, but he goes down, and next thing I know, the whole sword is out of the sheath. And all of us are going, whoa, because it didn't make sense. Now, it doesn't have to be something phenomenal as that. I remember in school when they were trying to teach us about infinity. And I don't know how your teachers presented it, and it may vary at different grade levels, but you know how on the chalkboard they would make a line, and then at the end of each point of the line they would make arrows. And they said, that's an infinity. This line, you have to imagine, keeps going. It goes through the wall, through the neighborhood, and it just goes on and on and on. And we're thinking, well, it's got to stop someplace. And they would say, no, that's infinity. And then the other one was the use of the circle. You know, the circle is round, and it neither has a beginning nor an end. And being the student that I am, very studious, very serious, I raised my hand, and the teacher had made a circle on the board, and I said, I can tell you where you started and where you stopped. So then I was taking mechanical drawing. This is back in junior high. And with a certain hardness of lead and a certain kind of paper, the teacher of the class wanted to get to the skill set where you can make a circle, and to the human eye, you couldn't tell where it started and where you stopped. There was no blob of lead, like a number two might leave, or even an ink pen, you know, that blob of ink, or a marker when you first touch a poster board. You know where you started the letter. But it was to indicate that you can make a circle, and just to the human eye, now magnifying glass, microscope would show, but just to the human eye. And so as we go through life, we start to figure out how things make sense. When you get through high school and into college, you understand the concept of infinity. When you go and you get educated, and if you ever study martial arts, or if you have someone explain it to you, how can a little old man pull a sword and do that? And on, we start to come to these answers. But there comes a point where we simply believe. where even the answer, the explanation, has a mystery contained within it, and we believe. Christmas is the unexplainable. It is the infinite God becoming flesh, very finite, and we believe. The God who is at creation, the Word made flesh, that Word spoken at creation, when God said, let there be light, that was Jesus, that was the Word. And now, that Word, after all these years, has now been conceived and born of Mary, and here he is lying in a manger. And there he is growing up in Nazareth. And then as you follow his life trail and all, we find him at the age of 12 in the temple, and then you go to the first miracle later on at the age of 30, and all in all, you can do the benchmarks. But there's this, okay, where was he from? And how did he get here? The infinite God, all-powerful, almighty, is there. For the shepherds to see, for the magi to worship, for Mary to ponder, for Joseph to believe. On and on it goes. There were times that Jesus himself spoke about the misery, the mystery. And he told, you know, Thomas and Philip and some others, you know, and excuse me, in conversations, you know, about blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And when he had done miracles, you know, people goes, how do you do that? And people would draw their own conclusion to try and explain it. I think he did it by the devil. Beelzebub. No, that wasn't it. God in the flesh, the infinite becoming finite. And yet, it is still beyond our mental reasons, capability, our intellect, to fully explain how Jesus is true God and true man. We can be like the teacher that draws a line on the chalkboard and puts arrow points at each end, right? But that really, it just tries to contain the mystery. And I think that's what enhances our celebration, is the fact that we do believe, but we can't explain. It's marvelous, isn't it? We believe the truth that God has revealed. We believe Mary was a virgin. We believe the Holy Spirit made that egg alive. We believe that Christ is true God, true man. We believe his sacrifice is enough and absolutely perfect to pay for our sins. Not just the sins of people in the room, but the sin of all time, of everyone in the world. We believe. Christmas is continually the opportunity to be amazed, because it's not about unwrapping packages, and those are fun, that we get from family and the kids and all of that. Gwen and I are empty nesters, and so we don't have any packages to unwrap. But we went there, we'd done that. We had the girls at home, and then the grandkids, when they lived in Nashville, we had them at our house, and the squeals and the laughter, and oh man, that's awesome. But what is even greater than that, and it's hard to imagine something greater than that, but it is to hear the Word of God and to say, God did something that in one sense we can grasp, like this candle, but in another sense we still can't hold it. That God in the flesh was born in Bethlehem. That God in the flesh redeemed us. That God in the flesh overcame sin and death, the grave, the devil. That God in the flesh did miracles over nature, illness. It's just remarkable that God in the flesh loved us so much that he laid down his life. We believe, don't we? And every year at Christmas time, it's the opportunity to still look at the Word and hear the Word and receive the Word into our heart and our mind and be amazed. Every year we unwrap the infinite as we behold the finite as it is described for us. We have glimpses of this in the sense of all throughout the year when we have the Lord's Supper, we have the bread. It's not tasting great, is it? You know, it's not something you want a whole pile of wafers for supper. You know, it's, but yet there in that unleavened bread is the body of Christ. We can grab the wafer, we can hold it in our hand. Maybe as, you know, years ago, I remember the pastor would put the wafer on your tongue. You weren't allowed to touch it. I like putting it in your hand. I think our assistants and Pastor Al likes putting it in the hand. But we can hold on to it, and yet we don't hold on to it. It's beyond our reason that God is, this is his body. And then the wine. It tastes like wine. It looks like wine. And yet this is his blood. The finite has been commanded to be connected to the infinite. And I think that gives us why Christmas is new every year and why we don't just say, well, I celebrated Christmas last year, once is enough. You know, I believe there's probably some with that attitude. But you understand how God opens this up for us. And every time we celebrate Christmas, it's a mystery. And every time we receive the Lord's Supper, it's a mystery. And every time someone is baptized with the water and the Word, you can see the water, you can hear the Word, and yet it's a mystery. We are way beyond the physicists, the scientists that talk about, well, we found a black hole on the other side of that black hole, and we believe there's a third, and black holes are supposed to be big voids and endless. But they're talking about multiple black holes now. And people say, I just can't believe that. And we believe something greater than that. That a babe in the manger grows up and dies in our place. We believe something greater than that. When Christ stretched out his arms and says, I love you, and he willingly gives his life, we believe something greater than all the physicist theories and everything when we hold on to the truth that in Christ we have a victory over death, sin, and the devil. Christmas is not powerless. Christmas is not confined by tradition. Christmas is not secular. Christmas is not boring. You know, is because how can you describe in a dull tone that God takes himself, who is infinite, and becomes finite for us? Christmas is amazing. Even for people my age. You know, we think for Christmas it's amazing for kids because they open up the presents and they go, wow, you know. Well, sometimes they go, oh, I didn't want that, I wanted this. But it is powerful. It should always be powerful. And then he tells us that there's a day to come that we will behold that power in a new way when Christ comes again. And again, then, the infinite will be visible in the finite, the real body, the real human, the true God, Jesus Christ, will come in his glory. and we will behold that. What a celebration that will be. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Amen.